Hello, and welcome to the Covenant Fellowship Podcast. We are so glad you've joined us. Today's message is here to help you preach the good news everywhere in your day-to-day life. Here at Covenant Fellowship, we accomplish this by encountering God, loving people, and serving others with everything we've got. Now let's dive in.
Let me tell you what's happening right now. In this church, we've been on a journey to go back to the Bible to figure out how in the world, in a very adverse society, under immense persecution, with great enticements of the world back at the beginning of the New Testament, how is it that those early disciples and that early church profoundly impacted the world that changed all of the face of the planet, really? What did they do? How did they do it? Because according to some reports, especially as it pertains to America, Christianity in America is on a decline. More churches are closing than opening. People are leaving the faith, and what these guys say is never to return again. Now, they just run in numbers and doing research. There's the God factor in all of that, and I know that. But here's what I want to say to you today. That this thing called the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is supposed to be a movement, and I believe it is, that Jesus said of himself that the gates of hell would not prevail against. And in a society with which we live in, I believe that it's time that the church go back to where somehow maybe it might have gone off stray a little, gone off course a little bit, and look at the Bible and see what they did in the early days and do that. Because I believe what happens in the Bible is relevant for every culture. Regardless of the technology, regardless of the accoutrements of the buildings, I believe what worked then will work now. Let me qualify that. I believe that the same blood that forgave a sinner then will forgive one now. I believe that the same power of the Holy Spirit that broke bondages and set the captives free then is the same Holy Spirit that'll do it right now. I believe that the same power that raised Jesus Christ up from the dead is still available and still should be in the church now. I believe that the same word and the same gospel is the same gospel that changed cultures and changed lives is the same gospel we should preach today. So we've been on a journey of going back into the Bible and looking at where the church, how the church handled situations, what they walked through, what their life was like, in order to hopefully glean something from the Word of God. Hopefully let the Holy Spirit speak to us and give us some instruction. We have been in Acts 6 for a minute now because I had like 9 points and that's gone up to 12 points. And so, because Acts 6 is one of those chapters where a lot is happening. So I want to go to the last part of that chapter, actually in verse 8, and I want to read to you real quickly, and then we're going to baptize some people. It says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people." Let me read that again. "And Stephen was not one of those 12 apostles. And Stephen, he was a guy that was appointed to wait tables. He worked in the food ministry, but notice about his life. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people." It's not just for the preaching elite. Come on, somebody. "Then there arose from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those of Sicilia and Asia, disputing with Stephen, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Then they secretly induced men to say We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and brought him to the council. They also set up false witnesses who said, "This man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will be destroyed, or will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us." And all who sat in the council looked steadfastly at him and saw his face as the face of an angel. For the next couple of moments in this series called Let's Act Out, let me give you four quick things that I want to draw your attention to really quickly. Now, we're going to skip over chapter 7 because this portion of chapter 6 and into chapter 7 is actually one writing, and it tells of the story where Stephen, in this instant, gets taken into this custody with the Sanhedrin and ultimately stoned for his faith in Jesus Christ. It is an incredible story. It's several verses in the next chapter. And I want to skip over to the next chapter real quick. And let me let you look at the very end of chapter number 7 in the last portion of that. It says, And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, this is a powerful, powerful thing. You'll notice if you actually read this whole portion of Scripture, while Stephen is being stoned, he sees heaven open and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Now, I think that's interesting because Hebrews said he's set down and seated at the right hand of God. But I believe that when the people of God get in issues, I believe Jesus stands up. But that's a whole other passage of Scripture that I don't have time to preach today. But I want to give you these four things. The first thing is I want to draw your attention to that first verse that I read to you concerning this portion of Scripture in verse 8. "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people." Here's point number one that I believe that we've got to receive as a church. Properly empowered people with grace, faith, and power do powerful things. Ladies and gentlemen, we are at the place and time to where being a good Christian means that we go to church. And I believe that God's intention for us as the children of God was not just go to church and live good, quiet lives. Nothing wrong with a good, quiet life. The problem is that it doesn't equate into an effective, powerful church. I believe that you and I ought to be a people, according to the Scripture, that do things under the power and the unction of the Holy Spirit that the Bible calls great signs and wonders. Jesus said, "These signs shall follow them who believe." He didn't say, "These signs shall only follow the preachers." He didn't say, "These signs shall only follow the pastors." He didn't say, "These signs shall follow just the apostles and disciples." No, he said, "These signs shall follow them who believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues." I believe that what God wants to do is a powerful thing, but I believe that he needs to do it not just through the preachers, the one or two that have a pulpit ministry, but through every single one of us. You are supposed to be a child of God with great power and anointing. We think that the preacher's the only one that can get a prayer through, and preachers make us think that in order to be able to keep a job. If I can make you depend on me, then I have job security. Friend, I think that is a lie from the very pit of hell. I don't think I have to depend on job security. I believe God appointed me. But what I'm supposed to do is help you to understand that God has called you to be a person of great faith, of great power, and great anointing. And the church needs to preach it until somebody gets it. Look at your neighbor and say, "Do you have power? If not, why?" Come on. Now, y'all fell off right there. You don't like confrontation, do you? You don't like confrontation, say it to them. If not, why? Because the Holy Ghost is for you. Say it. The Holy Spirit is for you. Let me put it in a more careful way so people are not spooked by the Holy Ghost. I heard years ago people said if you say Holy Ghost, it makes people afraid. Well, I ain't a scared, right? I ain't afraid. Listen. No, the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is supposed to rest up on the people of God. The problem is that sometimes we don't as people understand that kind of language. We want somebody else to have the power. We want somebody else to do the preaching. We want somebody else to do the teaching, and we want to just stay back and enjoy ourselves in the Lord, but really make no difference. And I believe that what's supposed to happen is that we're supposed to be a people of great grace, faith, and power. And I believe that we do powerful things. The second thing that I want to give you, and this ought to be the obvious, the devil hates people that are filled with faith and power and do powerful things. The devil don't like you. You might as well get over it. Come on, somebody. It's all right if the devil doesn't like me, if he doesn't care about me. It's okay. The Lord loves me. God has me in his hand. God is taking care of my life. And it ought to be all right with all of us to understand that there's just, the devil just does not like you. So we need to stop trying so hard to be liked by the devil and be loved by God. Come on, somebody. We need to start really being understanding that we're people that are called to be set apart, sanctified people under the power of the Holy Spirit, preaching a message and a gospel of freedom and deliverance to set those who are in captivity free from their broken places. But just like this synagogue, you notice they are the synagogue of the freedmen. Did you notice that? When we read it a few minutes ago, it said they were of the synagogue of the freedmen. And if you're a King James person, it says of the libertines, of the libertines. But if you study that out, it means that, and what scholars believe, that these were people, a group of people, a group of Jews, that were first under arrest when the Romans began to invade. But somehow they got set free, somehow they got turned loose, somehow they got out of jail. And because they were jail buddies, they decided, okay, let's go start a synagogue because now we're free. And said, this is the synagogue of the free people. I could almost imagine their worship right now. I could almost imagine their praise right now. But how many know it was plastic? It was plastic because they didn't recognize the power and the grace that was on Stephen. Now, here's what I received from that, that we don't need to be a church that just talks about freedom. We ought to be a church that truly is free and have the power of God in our life to preach a gospel message of freedom. There ought to be deliverances in these altars. There ought to be deliverances of all different kinds happening in these altars. Deliverance from addiction. Deliverance from demon possession. Deliverance from brokenness. Deliverance from anxieties and fears. I believe that the altars ought to be a place where the people truly get free. And they're not going to get free if we just play the game and talk about freedom and we don't have it ourselves. Help me. How many times do we talk about freedom, but we're really in bondage ourselves? We're in bondage to our unforgiveness. We're in bondage to our judgmentalism. We're in bondage to our racism. We're in bondage to all kinds of things. And I'm telling you, friend, the church needs to be a free place because he whom the Son sets free is really free indeed. We ought to be a people that's truly free. I mean truly free, not just free to dance, not just free to shout, but free from the bondages that hold us down. I was doing a little research because I'm preaching in a revival tonight. Hope y'all can make it up in Smith County because I got to hurry now, but I'm going to preach like I like to tonight. I might skip. Oh, no. I got to be careful. Anyway, we're live. Hey, y'all. Anyway, where was I going with this story? We ought to be a free people. People who really, truly have the freedom of God in our altars. The freedom of God working. And the study that I was doing said, according to a research group that done studies of Christian people, said, according to lifestyle, there's little to no difference to those who attend church on a regular basis and those who do not. Now, I don't know who they talk to, but that's a little scary to me. If that we're supposed to be a people that have been set free by the power of God, why in the world do we run back to the same bondages that got us in trouble in the first place? We're supposed to be free people, and if we're not careful, we'll miss an authentic move of God. How many know if they would have treated Stephen a little bit different, seeing the signs and wonders and miracles that he did, this might have turned into a Samaria. When we jump over to chapter 8 here in just a few weeks, when we get over to Acts chapter 8, you're going to hear about an amazing revival, one of the greatest revivals of the church in its early days. A powerful move of God came, and as a result, it was a group of people who were non-Jewish people, or at least what some would have called the half-breeded ones, the ones who had mixed and mingled with the people of the world. They were Samaritans. They were Samaritans, and the Jews didn't, they called them dogs. You talk about segregation, Lord have mercy. They called them dogs. They wanted to be separated from them. They felt like their bloodline had been polluted. So these were Samaritans. They were polluted people. But because they were willing to say, come on in, Philip, and preach the gospel to us, one of the greatest revival moves of God in all the New Testament happens over in chapter 8. And you know who Philip was? Was one of the same ones that was appointed on the same day that Stephen was appointed to take care of the feeding ministry. So here you had two powerhouse men of God, and one of them went to a group of people that didn't know any better, but they received him. But here's a group that should have known better. They talked about freedom, and yet here come a man preaching freedom and the power of God, and they locked it down. How many times have you ever seen somebody full of the power of God, full of faith, step into an environment where people are judgmental, people don't want it, people are cold, people are dry, people don't want it, and what could have been never becomes. God, help us not to be that kind of church. Help us be a church that said, God, whatever it looks like, whatever it sounds like, come on and do what you want to do, because I'm hungry. I want to see an outpouring of the move of God. Number three. What number am I on? I'm so confused right now. I got two more to give you. One. Here it is. You need to write this down. Some of you, I've said this before, but you need to keep this in your crawl. That's what my granny used to say. Put this in your crawl. I'm like, Granny, what in the world's a crawl? She said, you know, the chickens go out or the turkeys go out every morning, pick up a little gravels and put in the crawl so that when they eat something, they can crush it. Use the gravels to crush it. Put this in your crawl a little bit. The devil never attacks where there are no spoils. How many of you feel like sometimes you're just under attack all the time? Talk to me, somebody. If there was nothing of value right there, the devil would just pass you right on by. Come on, somebody. And I'm talking about people who are really attacked of the enemy, not just the victim of their own choices. I got to help somebody right there. Because some people are calling the devil what was their own decision. I can't pay my bills. I don't know what. The devil's attacking me. Wait a minute. You just signed a note on a $400,000 house on minimum wage. That's not the devil, baby. That's you. But the devil never attacks where there are no spoils. You need to understand that when the enemy comes after you, you need to recognize that there's something of value in there. And here's what I need you to understand, that if you'll make him pay for the attack, maybe he'll get the message one day. Instead of laying down under the attack, make him pay for the attack. And maybe one day, I know he's pretty hard-headed, but maybe one day he'll get the message. You know, sometimes when people fall under attack, Pastor, pray for me. I haven't been to church in months, but I just fell under attack of the enemy. You think it's going to get better laying in the bed with the covers over your head? No. The enemy's like, yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to happen. But when you're under attack and you're willing to come in and praise God anyhow, you're willing to shout anyhow, you're willing to give anyhow, you're willing to serve anyhow, I tell you right now, maybe the devil will get the message. And the last thing, God has a way of changing your image in an angelic way when your witness remains intact. It's interesting to me. This is what's noted as the first martyr of the Christian movement. This guy is eventually going to lose his life in just a short period of time. He's standing for God. He's standing for the Lord. But somehow, the Bible says that they could not resist the wisdom with which he spoke, and that while they kill it, like, what kind of lame brain person you got to be when God is changing the countenance of somebody right in front of your eyes to look like an angel, and you're still fighting for your system more than the glory of God. I don't even understand that. But here's what I want to tell you. Here's what I want to tell you. The witness you have of God will be seen in what it takes to make you quit. How much do I love God? I don't know. Let's see what it takes to make you quit. Let's see what it takes to make you back up and walk away. Here Stephen is. He's faced with it. Man, he preaches, bro. This is the longest preached message in all of the Bible in Acts chapter 7. I mean, he starts at Abraham. He goes on to Moses. And he keeps on trucking and talking about the prophecies of Jesus. And he says, all those people that prophesied about a land and about a deliverer, and Moses typified him, but he said he wasn't that guy. God would raise up one like unto Moses. This is who I'm trying to talk to you about. And they didn't get it. And so they rocked him to sleep. And when they're stoning him, the Bible says, and I don't know, people have said, wonder if Stephen felt this or not. Worship team, come on back up. Wonder if Stephen felt this or not. I don't know. I don't know how people are hitting you with boulders and stones, and you have the withal to be able to get a glimpse into glory. You know what that tells me? That in your darkest day and in your deepest trial, God will still pull back the seals of heaven and let you have a heavenly view of something that will keep you moving forward if you're really looking for it. I believe God, in the midst of your greatest trial, has a way. I don't know, like I say, I don't know if he felt it or not. I don't know if that right before that first stone hit him, if that God rolled it back, the seals of heaven, and let him see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Here's another thing that tells me. I don't know if y'all noticed this or not, but the very people that are stoning him take their clothes, their outer garment off, and they cast him at the feet of one named Saul. Even the outer garment of Stephen laid at the feet of one named Saul. I'm not sure how God used all of that. What I do know is after a little while, when we're reading in the book of Acts, that very one named Saul who breathes out threatenings against the church, who thinks he's doing the will of God, all of a sudden has an encounter on the road to Damascus that changes his life. Remember, I told you God doesn't ever waste a testing season. God doesn't waste your testing season. In the midst of your test, in the midst of your pain, I believe God is able to bring a testimony forth and change a life as a result. Somebody's watching what you're walking through right now. I believe God. I believe God. If you'll walk with God, church, that ought to tell us, don't quit. Don't give up. When a door closes, when we're under attack, when things aren't working out like you thought they would work out, keep on keeping on.
And that wraps up this episode of the Covenant Fellowship Podcast. For more information about who we are, please visit us at cfbristol.com or check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. We hope that you have a blessed day. And as always, just like we find in Isaiah 60, verse 1, we hope you arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you.